I used to work a dead-end job at a gas station, 10 p.m. to 6 a.m., 5 nights a week. I didn't really have a life outside that either. I was just watching TikToks all night, every night, for years. I just didn't care enough to do anything but get by. Some nights, in the long stretches of time between customers entering the store, I think to myself, man, just let anything happen. Anything to alleviate the boredom. I fantasize about some hot older woman coming in and kidnapping me, or a bunch of bikers recruiting me into their gang. None of that good stuff ever happened, but I eventually got my wish. It was the deadest part of the night. A pickup truck rolled into the station, did a loop to face outward toward the street, then parked by a pump and shut off. I watched as a hooded man stepped out of the driver's side and started pumping gas. I didn't get a good look at his face, but I wasn't worried. I was just glad he didn't come inside to pet. One less human interaction to get through, right? A couple minutes later, I looked outside again as the man was putting away the nozzle, then got back in the truck. I expected him to drive off, but he just turned the thing on and sat there, idling. After a short while, his brake light started flashing on and off. His foot was on the pedal, on, off, a few seconds at a time. I wondered what the hell he was doing in there. Eventually, a man threw open the door on the passenger side and stepped out. I quickly looked away, not wanting to get caught staring. I hadn't even realized there was another person in there until then. I figured they must have been talking, maybe arguing, until the driver made the other guy go in and get something. Soon after, the passenger entered the store, and I immediately noticed he wasn't just also wearing a hood, but a hockey mask as well. I greeted him a little nervously. Of course, he said nothing to me and just walked by. I said to myself, dude, it's nowhere near Halloween. This guy looks like a tool. Deep down, though, I was a little worried. A masked man coming into the store at night and all. But for the moment, it seemed fine. I tried keeping track of him, but then my eye was caught by some movement outside. The driver of the pickup had gotten out of the vehicle again, this time with the lights and presumably the engine still on. He was rummaging around in the bed, leaning over the side with the tailgate up, so I couldn't see what he was grabbing. When I glanced away from him, hoping to see the masked man in the same spot he was in a few seconds ago, I realized I lost track of his location. Suddenly it clicked. These guys had to be up to no good. My options were few. I calmly walked around the counter to the front door and locked it. Better to fight one guy than two, right? And absolutely not the guy who was definitely grabbing a weapon from his truck. As soon as the lock catched, they both must have heard it. The man outside slipped something into his pocket, then started storming up to the store. A moment later, I heard a voice behind me ask, "Why'd you lock the door?" I turned around and saw the man in the hockey mask standing just a few feet away. He was also holding something in his jacket pocket, surely a weapon of some kind, so he wasn't unarmed like I had hoped. Like a cold wave, the realization of how screwed I was hit me. I was sandwiched between a guy with a knife and a door, and right on the other side of the door was another guy with a knife, or whatever weapons they were about to use against me. As the guy outside started pounding on the flimsy glass, I knew it wasn't going to hold him back for long. The masked man was slowly stepping closer to me, telling me to unlock it, but I was frozen, trying to find something in my useless brain to help me. I knew it wasn't going to hold him back for long. I was sure everything was about to explode in my face, when out of nowhere, bright lights glared through the window. I didn't know who or what it was at first, until I heard the familiar sound of the local deputy's patrol car parking right in front of the store. I breathed a silent sigh of relief and turned to look at him as he stepped out. He was the average lazy small-town cop, aloof, pudgy, but armed, and backed by the entire sheriff's office. Finally, I followed the commands of the man in the mask and unlocked the door. Not for him, but for the deputy. The cop waltzed in, totally oblivious to the tension in the room. He cut right through it, walking over to coffee, pouring himself a cup, then to the pastry case to pick out a donut. Careful not to get too close to Mr. Hockey Mask, I went back behind the counter just as the cop was coming up to order. I rang him up, but also started making small talk with him to keep him in the store. I didn't want to outright tell him what was happening and risk a shootout. Less than a minute later, the man in the hockey mask left the store. His friend outside shot me a look straight out of one of my nightmares. The first time I even saw his face. He was pissed, but there was nothing he could do but leave. Once it was just me and the cop in the store, I told him what was going on. He said he'd stick around for a few hours in case they came back, and thankfully showed up when he did. Because I know whatever would have happened to me otherwise would have gotten nasty. Ever since then, I was terrified they would come back. It got to be too much, and I eventually quit because of it. In all reality, my life is on a better track than it was when I worked the night shift. So maybe those guys giving me the scare of my life was just what I needed. When I first started out as a police officer, I got stuck with the graveyard shift. All the rookies in my department have to do it for at least a year. The unnatural sleep schedule alone is exhausting, not to mention the fact that the craziest, weirdest stuff happens in the middle of the night. One minute you're bored out of your mind. The next, you're stopping a crackhead from burning down a homeless encampment with a gallon of gasoline. However, the kind of things that really stick with me aren't always so flashy. There's one night I think about all the time, and it happened in my first week on the night shift. Back then, I was working with a partner who was showing me the ropes. We were on patrol, rolling through the empty streets with no one in sight. Around 3 a.m., we passed by a restaurant and noticed there was a dim light on inside. We both agreed the place had been completely unlit the last time we saw it that same night, so we decided to check it out. Strangely, the front door was unlocked, but other than that, nothing seemed out of place. We opened the door and shouted inside, "Hello? Anyone in here?" Our voices echoed through the empty building with no response. Something didn't feel right. The light wasn't in the dining area, but coming from the back of the restaurant. Yet I could have sworn the source was visible through the window just a minute earlier. It was like it had moved. I entered the building, followed by my partner. He ordered me to go check out the back while he stayed in the front in case anyone came running. But I was already making my way to the kitchen. There were no windows in there, no street lights pouring in. Just me and that warm but dim light I was chasing. It seemed to have moved again, now coming from behind a door that was slightly open. Once again, I announced my presence. "Police, come on out." Nothing, not a sound. I approached the door and opened it. I was met with a set of stairs down to the basement, but still no light source. I shouted back to my partner that I was going down to the sublevel, and by the time I looked back, the light was gone, swallowed by the basement. Unholstering my flashlight, I shined it down the steps. It was never as bright as I wanted it to be, but it was just enough to see as I made my way down. At the bottom, I discovered the switches didn't turn anything on. As for the initial light, I saw it when I looked up. It was coming through a ceiling vent. Immediately, my mind went to fire. I even reached for my radio and was about to call the fire department, but then I hesitated. I didn't see or smell any smoke, and the light had only gotten dimmer, not grown brighter like fire. Confused, I walked directly underneath the vent and shined my light at it. Yet again, there was nothing to see. My flashlight outshone whatever was casting the other light, and when I turned my flashlight away, the original glow I was after finally just disappeared. At this point, I was really scratching my head, trying to figure out what the hell I was seeing. Eventually, I decided it was nothing and started going up the stairs. But then, at the third or fourth step, I stopped. I heard something, like rats in the walls. It was a hollow, echoey scratching. I turned around, and as the sound continued, it was coming from the same vent I was just looking at. Something was crawling around in it. I stood there for about 20 seconds, listening, until it stopped. Quietly, I made my way down the steps and underneath the vent once more. I looked up without my flashlight to see if the glow would return. I couldn't see anything, but I could hear something else. A raspy, shaky breathing. As my heart began to race, I pointed my flashlight at the vent again. this time putting it right up to the grate. The light shined through the slits and inside the vent, falling on a sight I'll never forget. A human face. It stared right at me, a look of insanity in its eyes, before shifting away and disappearing. The crawling sounds came back, louder than ever, like they were bearing down on me. After a moment of shock, I headed toward the stairs to get back to my partner. But when I looked up to the door, I saw a dark figure standing in my way. They were tall enough to fill the doorway, but the second I shined my light to get a better look, they slammed the door shut. I unholstered my gun and ran up the stairs. I tried to get through, only for the damn door to be locked. I banged on the door and it stopped, calling out to my partner. Moments later, it opened, and he was on the other side, looking utterly confused. It stared right at me, a look of insanity in its eyes, before shifting away and disappearing. The crawling sounds came back, louder than ever, like they were bearing down on me. I asked him if he'd seen anyone going his way, but he said no. We'd been alone the entire time, as far as he knew. I was left completely dumbfounded. I told him everything that happened, and he helped me search the rest of the place. But in the end, he refused to call for backup. He told me it was best if I didn't earn a reputation for spooking myself, which I understood meant he didn't believe me. And if anyone else in the department heard about it, they'd laugh at me. Just a rookie seeing things in the graveyard shift. That night, I chose to accept it and tried to move on. But I've never forgotten. I just don't understand. There was no way for anyone to leave the building except by going past my partner out the front door. So where did that person go? How did they even get in the vent? There was no sign of breaking and entering anywhere either, so I don't have a clue as to what they wanted. What freaks me out the most is that face I saw looking back at me, and the sight of the person who locked me in the basement. I'm just glad I got out of that situation without confrontation. Who knows what could have happened? A few years back, I was doing food deliveries after work to scrape up some extra cash. Since it was late at night, not a whole lot was open. Only a few local places were holding it down. One pizza joint, a Thai place, and an Indian restaurant. All serving fresh hot food to the night owls. I'd make deliveries for these places for about 2 or 3 hours, then call it quits. One night, I picked up an order from the Indian place. It was chicken biryani. Probably the most popular item on their menu. The address was farther away than usual, out in a part of town I couldn't remember ever delivering to. I didn't know if it was because people didn't really live there, or if it was supposed to be out of range, but I drove there anyway. The closer I got, the more unsure I became that I was even going to the right place. The street seemed completely deserted. All the houses looked abandoned, and I barely saw any cars parked in the driveways. Even the streetlights didn't work. Everything was so still and dead. But then, for just a moment, I saw someone in the window of one of the houses. I turned my head to get a better look, only for them to disappear into the shadows behind them. The house itself was just as old and run down as all the rest, with no lights on inside. But knowing there was someone in there made it feel different. Of course, it also had to be the house I was supposed to deliver to, and it got weirder. Despite their initial instructions to personally hand the order to them, the customer messaged me on the app saying, "Hey, I had to leave, but the door is open. Just put it on the table. I left an extra tip for you there." Immediately, a bunch of questions ran through my head. First of all, why order delivery just to leave before it gets there? But more importantly, why lie? They had to know I saw them in there, though I started trying to rationalize it. Maybe that was their kid or something, who was told not to answer the door. Yet if that were the case, telling me to go in there and be alone with them, even just for a few seconds, made it feel even stranger. After debating it for a bit, I finally decided to just get it over with. I wanted the extra money, and I didn't want to waste any more time. I got out of my car and took the bag up to the door, which was unlocked like they said it was. I slowly pushed the door open just a crack. It was pitch black inside, but all the way on the other end of what was a rather small house, I could see moonlight. back door was wide open. At first, I didn't know what to make of it, but I figured they must have left in a hurry and forgot to make sure it closed behind them. With both doors open, a giraffe ran through the corridor and out past me. I took out my phone and turned on the flashlight, not wanting to bother fumbling for a light switch. Stepping inside, the floorboards creaked and popped underneath me like they hadn't been walked on in years. I soon found a table, the only one near the front door, so I assumed it was the one they meant for me to put the food on. They didn't leave any tip there like they promised, though. I was disappointed, but it was okay. I set the food down. But then, instead of leaving right away, I thought I'd do them a common courtesy and close the back door. Otherwise, it would let out all the warm air and their house would be cold when they got home. I walked over and shut it. Then I turned around back toward the front door. When the light from my phone hit it, I saw something that made me freeze. There was a figure, a person standing in the way. The light was too dim to make out any major details, but they were tall, looking right at me and blocking the front door. I slowly reached for the door handle behind me, quietly turned it, then I bolted out the back door. I sprinted around the house and got back to my car as fast as I could, then sped off without looking back. Once I was out of the area, I finally looked down at my phone for directions, but instead, I saw a text from the person who placed the order. It said, "You're lucky you're fast." I didn't respond. What was the point of talking to them anyway? I knew the person I saw in the house must have been them, but that was about it. I didn't know what they wanted, except that it was far from good, and I couldn't even be sure that they were the actual owners of that house. It was probably vacant for all I know. After all that, I had some trouble settling down, so I figured I'd make a few more deliveries before going home. But I couldn't sleep. I kept thinking about it. I hate to think about what would have happened if I hadn't gone to the back door and instead returned directly to the front where that creep was lurking. That, and if the back door had somehow locked or jammed once I closed it, if I still would have been able to escape.